Thanks, Peter. Okay, so this presentation is from me, Julien, and Alberto, but clearly there is an entire team behind. And this is the entire team, so you can see our boss on the left, but this is the entire team. And with all this team, we manage, these are the current services that we manage. So you can see we go from the tape part, so TSM, Castor. We have the main disk storage with the EOS and then CERNBOX as a access space. We have also Hadoop, AFS, NFS, and some other services which nowadays are based on Ceph as a storage. So we will show you the CERN IT storage vision for the future. In particular, the plan is to be able to grow, to build a flexible and uniform storage layer for the entire CERN infrastructure, and to maintain all the tools we have and enhance them for all the possible grid management tools like FTF, et cetera, to transfer data around. So first of all, we need to scale, and we need to scale at the exabyte level. So right now we are in the ballpark of more than 100 petabyte, but the plan is clearly to go even further. So this, for example, this month, we will receive an additional 100 petabyte, and we need some system that need to scale and cope in an easy way with all this amount of data. And for this, for us, it's strategic to have EOS at the center of our strategy, since this is in-house development, and we can tune all the different possible things, and we have a full control on all the different access for the data. And the additional part for our strategic vision is clearly also to have something with a tape backend, so with higher reliability and very low cost, in particular for go with and preserve the data during long periods of time. And for this, Julien will do the second part of this talk. Clearly, at CERN, a particularly interesting topic for us for the storage group is to have a generic home directory service. This I will talk about a bit more in detail in my next talk after. But the idea is basically to cover all the personal requirement of all the CERN user that use all different operating systems, and they need to share data between them. So the plan there is to use CERNBOX and EOS together in order to exploit the power of all the storage that we have. So all this amount of data to be easily shareable between all our physicists, all our users, but also all the administrative staff when they need it, and basically to all the different workflow we have at CERN. And in particular for this, the key development is on the EOS storage. So we need to have a flexible storage infrastructure, and this we're building on top of EOS, and to evolve in particular the file system interface. So what we see is that more and more our users continue to ask a file system access interface. And this we need to grow this, improve this. So in the last year, basically, we did a lot of improvement for the file system interface, but we see that we need to do even more in order to cover all the possible workflow that we have. The other point is to clearly scale not only the, let's say, the access level part, but also the namespace. Because as we know, currently we have around 1 billion files, more than 1 billion files on EOS, but we see that this number, they're continuously growing, and they're growing very fast. So we need a way to scale the namespace in a way which is easy for us to maintain, and it can be a scale-out and not a scale-up approach. And clearly, we always evaluate all the possible back-end solutions. So, for example, object disk, object store, etc. That can be, for us, an easy way to plug even cheaper storage. For example, we plug Kinetic Drive behind the EOS as a test. So these two are the main two challenges. The first one is to have some file system API, so a way to directly interact from the access layer at the file system level, so a fuse access, a direct interface to EOS in order to be very fast and not to rely on single hop for all the different translations, so inode to path, path to inode, et cetera, but having a bulk interface in order to have all the operations super fast. And clearly the scale out of the metadata. So going from a single in-memory namespace with a backup to a way that we can scale even scale out with the key value store. And clearly CERNBOX in this strategy is a real is very interesting because this allowed an easy access from all the possible users, so not just the physicists, but basically everyone which doesn't have too much deep knowledge of all the software stack and all the physics analysis part, in order to access all the data when it's needed, to have disconnected access, so one can download the data that he needs and then work locally, but also an easy sharing model with web interfaces and all the possible things. And for improving this, we are also integrating inside CERNBOX a lot of very nice features, like all other services plugged in, like the Microsoft Online and some software for the analysis, like Swan, which are Python notebook. So this is basically the architecture. So you have all our user, so not only the online access, that we have different way to have online access depending on the type of user, so Windows user, etc. A tape backend, and then the web browser access with the interface with all the possible tool integrated with the web interface when it's needed, and then clearly the offline access and the synchronization for the data between the clients and our system. And clearly an access also from all the possible clusters, so the different batch plus analytics, in order to build on top of these different applications that all our services at CERN might need. So we'll leave now the part to Julien to continue.
Hi, everyone. So I'm from the tape and archive backup section, and I will show you a bit the backend, the tape backend, its evolution. So as you see, this is what we have been writing into Castor for the physics data since 2008, and you see that we have a clear acceleration since run 2. We're currently getting around 100 petabyte a year, and it will just accelerate. There are a few additional challenges with all the past data preservation, because as you know, tape bits are getting smaller and smaller. They are more sensitive to dust, so we developed dust sensors to fight against those kind of physical bit corruptions. We also integrated recently logical block protection into Castor and CTA to manage all the possible corruptions at a link layer level when you're transferring basically the data from a server over the fiber channel. You know that the tape drive will just checksum for each tape block and make sure that what you had in memory on the server is what was actually written on the tape. So those are consistent, continuous developments we're integrating into the tape software. Some of our data is 40 years old, and we still keep the full history, because as you see, the full history in 2014 was just what was written was the same amount as what was written until then. And future history, all the past is just about 18 months of all the previous data. We're also preparing for the future, because as I said, we'll be getting more and more data. We're expecting this kind of evolution and growing exponentially. Tape drives are also evolving, and they are writing faster. And we have to take in consideration all those changes into the architecture of the tape tape software. Luca showed you this graph, but it's going to evolve a bit, because as you know, we're going to kill this little animal here and replace it with a mix of EOS and CERN tape archive. That's what I will show you now. Okay, so basically, EOS, as you see, is a central strategic storage platform for CERN and the app community. It's going to replace all the various services like AFS and everything. And tape is for sure the storage, the strategic long-term archive medium. So those two were made to meet, and that's what they do in CTA. The idea is to streamline the data paths from the experiments to the tapes, the software and the infrastructure as well. This is how CTA look like. Here you can see that you have all the various EOS instances. CTA is basically a separate infrastructure dedicated only to tape. It takes care of all the scheduling, all the step scheduling, optimally in a single pass. While in Castor, it was a staged scheduler that were more complex to handle. This is way more simple, and this way we can really optimize the data flow on tapes for faster drives. Okay, we can detail this, but basically, the real advantage here is that a single CTA instance manages all the catalog of the archive file from EOS, so from the different instances. And the metadata communication is done between the EOS MGM and the CTA frontend. CTA manages some of the metadata here. And the file transfer is directly done from the tape servers to the EOS file storage server. And okay, so how do we migrate from the current situation with Castor and EOS plus CTA? This is a single, this is a simple drop-in replacement, as CTA is keeping the same metadata as Castor, is keeping the same tape format as Castor. So you just have to migrate the metadata from Castor to CTA, and the CTA will be able to read all the data you have in Castor, of course, because we don't want to copy data from tape to tape in a turn or in any other sites. Okay. So migration is easy. This is also the roadmap of CTA. So currently, we have a prototype running on the cloud infrastructure. Soon we'll be addressing the additional copy use cases like AFS backups. Try with small experiments where we'll have a dual copy in CTA and keep the primary copy in Castor. A year later, CTA will be ready for small experiments, and at the end of 2018, it will be ready for all the LHT experiments. As you see, this is a very aggressive timeline for development. I will show you tomorrow how we're trying to achieve this with the development strategy. Outside CERN, how could you use CTA as well? Basically, you can use CTA everywhere where you have already EOS. CTA can also go behind another disk storage system. It would require some work, some help from your side, because we cannot do everything on our own. It's just that your HSM needs to manage the full life cycle of each of your files, from disk and tapes. And you need to use either Xroot or help us to implement your disk transfer protocol so that it works with CTA. On the database, on the metadata side, CTA currently uses Oracle, but we don't want to do the same kind of mistake that the one we have in Castor, where we're using PLSQL and those things. So here we have a thin relational database management system layer that allows us to change easily the database backend. For example, when you were testing CTA on our laptops, we're using SQLite backend, and for production, and real tests, we're going to Oracle. Now, a small word on the backup service, because it's a bit of a pain, because this is a proprietary. We're using TSM, and we are paying according to volume. So we're trying to always try to decrease the growth of the backup volume. Here you can see that we removed the AFS backups from TSM. We moved them to Castor. And since Castor will be evolving to EOS and CTA, this will go to EOS and CTA. You see that we have also two other large users we're working with. This is the DB backups. And we're planning to move them as well to move their backups to EOS and then EOS plus CTA for archival on tapes. And this is CDA, so basically all the DFS content, Indico. And there are several projects for them as well to move to EOS. And then EOS and CTA, so we'll be able to hopefully decrease from here to here. That's our goal. Okay. So, any question?
Okay. So, we have questions. If I'm not wrong, the market for big tape system is shrinking. Suppose in 10 years there will be no commercial tape system available, since it's also not driven by a commodity. So what would be a plan B if you have to replace tape? Is there a plan B? Or are you confident that in 10, 15 years tape system will be on the market to a reasonable price?
I mean, currently, tape is not really dead, because if you look at the big players like Amazon and their offer with Glacier and Google, they're all big tape consumers, but they're going for the LTO technology. I'm not really sure about the enterprise technology. Will it be there still in 15 years? But I'm pretty confident that LTO will still be there, because I mean, Google is a really, really huge tape customer, and tape is still the place to have cheap archival. Facebook is doing some experiments with Blu-rays, so robots full of Blu-rays, dual density, multiple layers, but it's still not as reliable as tapes. So,
I mean, anyway, on our side, we check what's going on in the community, etc. We always try to see if there is an alternative solution for the long-term archiving. So every couple of years we do another check to see if what we're building still makes sense, or is easy to change to something else. And with the new CTA part, this will be quite easy, because then you will plug something else rather than the tape.
Okay. I saw NFS written a few times on your slides. Is
yes.
This parallel NFS? Is this 4.2? Can you talk a little bit more about it, please?
So this was basically, the plan is mainly for the backup of Oracle, that they need the NFS compliant part. So what we're building there is we will put our access protocol, and then we'll put on top the NFS that will be required for the Oracle part. This is just basically for that use case. For other type of access, it doesn't make sense to go directly on NFS for our usage.
Have you been able to talk IBM into doing per server license cost instead of per volume, because that's what we're using, because it's much cheaper when you have large volumes and you can reduce the number of hosts?
I was involved in the previous TSM tendering, and they proposed us a client base license, where we had to evaluate the version of the CPUs from the clients and some of that. And the roadmap was not very clear, and the computation was a bit strange. Is that what you're saying? So we decided to discard this one, because I mean, whenever you have a big upgrade of the servers, then you can multiply the license cost by a non-manageable factor.
Yes, but it does open up for such thing as consolidating your precious data to just a few hosts and using them for backups.
But we don't have few hosts to do backups.
Yeah, we have more than 1,000 clients, and we cannot really say no. So
okay. Yeah. Then that's
so
a
we prefer to
worse model.
To evaluate the backup consumption in TSM, yeah, and try to plan it, try to contain it, because I mean, backup at CERN, like most services and storage services, is free as freebies.
Yeah. I think I was more thinking about the AFS case, where you could clearly have one AFS backup host.
No, but this is already solved.
But that's already solved.
Yeah,
so if the other ones have thousands of clients, then that's not relevant.
Yeah.
Okay, we have time for a last question. If not, then thanks again to our two speakers.